welcome to yet another episode of The Dating Culture. I'm really excited to have this guest on the show today because she is a new friend and also now a close friend. And I met her here in Philadelphia, and she has a podcast which is called The Hoe and the Hopeless. So I'm going to welcome you to the show, Deb.
Thank you so much.
And I wanted to just share a little bit about our love story because Deb and I are literally recent friends, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny because we crossed paths, I think, through like the Philly community, the Philly creative community.
Yeah.
And we just kind of became homies. We clicked. I really like, you know, digged her energy. But I was also really intrigued because she has this really awesome podcast, which is really just raw and real. And it's about sex, and it's about, you know, what it's like to be the hoe or the hopeless. Mm-hmm. And so we actually met again recently at a Bumble event. So I figured we would give ourselves this opportunity to not just, I wanted to bring her on the show because I wanted us to kind of work together on kind of interviewing each other through this process and understanding who we are as individuals in the dating world. So today's going to be kind of like a really unique episode, and I'm so, so, so excited to have you on, girl.
Yay! Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to say, like, thank you so much for having me on, because I think this is the first time I've been a guest on a podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool because, like, I get to now interview all my friends, you know, and like all my, yeah, like everybody that I've interviewed so far is like a friend or somebody who just has like a really cool story. So, with that being said, tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah.
Who is Deb?
Who is Deb? So I'm Deb. I'm 25 years old, which I think is somewhat relevant to this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm first generation. I'm Haitian American. So my parents grew up in Haiti. Mm-hmm. And then they came to America to provide a better future for their children. Mm-hmm. And their children, one of them is a rock star. Mm-hmm. The other one has a sex podcast. The other one has been in college for 7 years. So we're getting there. But I always have had this really keen interest in things that are taboo and things that aren't really talked about. And I think that when you grow up in a first generation household, sex and relationships are not talked about.
That's also like a middle child thing.
Yes, dude, seriously, yeah, we're middle child and earth signs in common too. Yeah. So I grew up just like not knowing what was going on ever. I remember the other day I was thinking back and I asked my mom like, oh, like why do people, like when I was a kid, I asked her, why do people have so many kids in Haiti and not in America? And she was like, because they have so much free time. And I didn't, I didn't understand it at the time.
Yeah.
So like I've always had these questions, and I was lucky enough. I grew up in Philadelphia, and I was lucky enough to have like a really good sex education compared to like my peers, because I was in a special program and my teacher would take us to like go buy condoms and stuff like that. Yeah. And then I went to a special high school, and it had a room that like was called the drop-in center, where you could go and ask any questions you had about sex or like get condoms. Mm-hmm. And even though like I wasn't sexually active at the time, it like really helped expand my mind and helped me to understand that, you know, if I have these questions, I should try to answer them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And I think, you know, that led to like the Tumblr age, where I was like learning a ton on Tumblr throughout like high school and college.
Oh my God, Tumblr.
Yes.
Whoa, throwback.
I know. Really everything I learned about sex was through Tumblr, pretty
wow,
much.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like I was into like, I guess like raunchy Tumblr.
That's great.
Because I mean, I was living this double life where I was, you know, this like supposedly good, like first generation kid where, you know, I'd go to church with my parents and blah, 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 try to make them happy. But, you know, if you're not living a balanced life, it's going to come out some way.
Right.
And I don't think I did anything too crazy or wild. But, you know, I was just curious and I was trying to learn.
Yeah.
So yeah, it kind of seems like a natural fit for me to sure. have started the podcast, you know?
Yeah. That's interesting that you say that, because I feel like I've lived a double life too. And mm-hmm. like till this day, I feel like I do. I don't think it really hit me until recently that I was like, oh my God, like the more I'm discovering myself, the more I'm realizing that I'm not feeling like I'm as connected with my culture and I'm more connected with my version of my culture.
Oh, snap. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I don't have any desire or I don't want to say desire, cause I think that's a strong word, but I don't mm-hmm. have any, like, there's no pull come like from something else. That's like, yeah. Hey, you have to carry on these traditions. You have to do this. You have to do that. And so I think that's like, you know, I feel that when you say like you feel like you're living a double life, like yeah. I legit like go home and my mom is like the most religious person that I know. Like yes. she legit has like these big ceremonies and stuff and all these like gurus are in town, like yeah. all this stuff. And I'm like, yo, who is sleeping in my room? Yes. Like, who is this person? Like, and it's crazy. And like, you know, yeah, I will go out and legit be drinking and like just be hungover and show up to these religious things.
Yes,
and I'm like,
dude, I don't that's like, me. Oh my God, like Sunday mornings hungover right? in church.
That's
like,
what I'm saying though. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's so crazy. And I'm sitting here thinking like, how do I connect to my culture if I'm acting like a fool in my own culture? You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Definitely.
And so I think that it just all comes like full circle, but like, you know, it's so tough, like trying to balance both worlds. Mm-hmm. And you know, I actually went to a wedding this past weekend. I worked a wedding and, this one woman was talking about how she's like, you know, as long, I don't care if my daughter brings home like a guy, as long as he's Indian. And I'm like, how are you going to restrict your daughter? Like,
yes.
because the thing is like, we're basically up against trying to please our parents and then mm-hmm. also dealing with the crazy shit that happens in our generation mm-hmm. here in America.
Yep.
So it's, I mean, there's a lot that we'll dive into.
Yeah,
but,
definitely.
I wanted to just give you the opportunity to kind of introduce yourself and talk about, you know, your background and who you are. Cause I feel like we have such similar upbringings mm-hmm. but we're also like similar in so many ways. Cause we're like these, you know, young female entrepreneurs just like trying to do our thing. Like
yeah.
my mom is like, you know, my mom's like proud of me for the career that I've built, but yeah. she's like, obviously from the time that I was born, she's like, well, you're going to be like a doctor
oh, yeah,
or
definitely.
Like something like that. Right. And I'm just, you know, as I got older, like I think she realized that she was just happy that I went to college mm-hmm. and like got a degree, even
yeah.
though I don't use my degree.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel all of that. It's so funny. Cause I mean, I want to write like a book about my culture called like Philadelphia Penang Port-au-Prince or like
that's
one
awesome.
Of those, one of those. Cause like when I'm in Philly, you know, I'm not like American, I'm Haitian American. You know what
yeah.
I mean? I'm always going to have that hyphen
because yep.
the experiences I've had growing up are going to be so different from my peers around me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm in Port-au-Prince, when I'm visiting my family, like I'm not Haitian, I'm American to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
so
yeah.
like, I struggle with that and learning how to connect with that. And then when I was in Penang, I was neither. Like, you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, people thought I was African and like,
yeah.
or like, they just saw like me as just this like being.
Yeah.
So like recognizing my, like this kind of like dual or multifaceted culture
mm-hmm.
has been something that's been like major for me
mm-hmm.
and especially major when it comes to dating for me.
Yeah. Cause
I go back and forth like, you know, of course, like, I'm sure you've experienced, like, when you hit 20 or something,
oh my God,
you start
yeah.
getting, like, the wedding, like, you know, like, when are you going to get married? Ba-da-da-da-da. Like,
mine was, like, I think I was, like, 18 or 19.
Oh, yeah.
My priorities were so off as, like,
mm-hmm.
as that around that time frame. But I wasn't, like, because I was so caught up in this whole idea of, like, I need to find my partner. Like, that was my main focus at the time,
mm.
you know what I mean? Versus, like, going to college, getting an education, building
yeah.
a career for myself. Like, that was what it became. But I realized that that's not what jived with me. Like, the energy that I feel like I give off or, like, the one that satisfies me the most is, like, showing a lot of love. So, like,
yeah.
that came naturally to me when it came to relationships and men. But, like...
Mm-hmm.
I was losing sight of like my career stuff too.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
So it just, but the thing is like, I'm glad everything kind of like happened the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise I obviously wouldn't be where I'm at, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
But it kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a double-edged sword now, right? Because
mm-hmm.
it's like, you work so hard on your career, but you forgot like this concept of like
oh,
you
yeah.
having to get married at a certain age
mm-hmm.
and like, in, you know, having kids and that whole path. Now you talk to me about marriage and kids. I'm like, I can't even wrap my head around having a kid right now. Like, hell no. Yeah. Like, I got to get a lot of shit together before I have bring a human into this world.
Oh my gosh. I can't even comprehend it. I still feel like, you know, I have no regrets about like my like the first half of my 20s. I would do it mm-hmm. all over again. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, wow, I'm really, it feels like sometimes I'm restarting, like mm-hmm, I've restarted mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. I'm continuously restarting. And I can't even imagine like being married and stuff. I'm like, yo, I still need to date around. I don't even really know what it's like to really, I mean, I keep adding on like caveats. I'm like, yeah, like, I don't know what it's like to date around, or I'll be like, I don't know what it's like to date around multiple people. And mm-hmm. I don't know what it's like. Da, da, da.
It's just a whole different, yeah. It's a whole different style mm-hmm. of thinking that people have to learn to do when you're dating. And I had a conversation with one of my friends yesterday. I said, a lot of people don't realize that when you go into the dating world and you finally open up that energy and you open up your heart to like wanting to meet people, mm-hmm. you also have to understand that you're going to open up chances of somebody breaking your heart.
Oh, 100%.
And people don't realize that. They're like, oh my God, I'm single and I'm dating and I'm meeting people. But it's like what you're really doing is you're opening up your heart to a vulnerable place.
Oh, so yeah,
people can 100%. come into that space mm-hmm. and people experience heartbreak and all this stuff. And then, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like that baggage, like just kind of piles up, but it's like, you know, you were kind of meant to experience that. You're meant to like, you gotta be okay with that, 100%. You know, going into it. But, mm-hmm.
That's something I'm still learning. And I like, it's funny. I was talking to a friend yesterday who's like younger than me, like 21. And she was like debating whether she should go out with this dude. And I was like, you should go for it. Cause mm-hmm. I wish more people had told me to just go on dates when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I took things, and I think this is a part of that imprint of like being first generation, mm-hmm. but I took things so seriously. Mm-hmm. Like when it comes to dating, like if I even gave you an hour of my attention, you had to like, I mean, I think you really should prove yourself to mm-hmm. me, but like I was just taking it really way too seriously, and it created this anxiety. Like,
oh my God, girl, you are preaching to the choir. Yes. I literally like put so much pressure on myself. And then mm-hmm. it became self-sabotage because my personality is to internalize everything. Like I don't really mm-hmm. project it onto the relationship mm-hmm. or onto somebody. Cause I feel like me making them feel uncomfortable is going to push them away further and then cause more anxiety.
Are we looking at a mirror right now? This is crazy.
And so it just became so much, it was anxiety mm-hmm. that I was internalizing and then also projecting onto my mom because mm-hmm. I was like, you are putting all this pressure on me to be this person and to find this particular man, and you're just being rude now because you're like, because you expect me to be a certain way and to have a certain type of man in my life, and I'm sitting here like I can't even find a dude that wants to commit.
That's what the guys struggle with.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I feel that anxiety though, because I was, you know, I was putting so much pressure on myself because of the pressure that was coming from my mom.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was like, okay, cool. Cause my mom is super, super strict with certain things. Yeah. And like, I want to respect her wishes, but at the same time, like her checklist is he's got to be Indian. He's got to mm-hmm. be the highest caste. He's got to be a believer in Lord Krishna. And I'm like, I'm like, did you ever ask your daughter if she believes in half this stuff? Mm-hmm. Like, and you're expecting for a man to come into her life and like be that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I saw this woman this weekend, like I basically told her exactly that. And I told her how her world is and our world is, and how to create this man that she expects to have for her daughter.
Yeah.
And she was like, she looked at me and she's like, you know what? I think you're right. And I'm like, girl, her daughter was sitting right next to her. Her daughter was like a really sweet, like soft girl. And she was very kind of quiet.
Yeah.
But, man, there's just so much clash. And there's so much like pressure coming from so many different directions.
Oh, yeah.
And it's heavy. It's not.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, it was to the point where I was getting so angry that I was envisioning myself hurting myself because I didn't know how to, I couldn't envision hurting anybody else, but I was like, what can I do to just get rid of this stress and this pain and this anxiety?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I work through it, but you know, that's how serious this stuff is. And how do you, it's like, you know, it's like beating a dead horse when you try to teach your parents something.
Yeah.
Like teaching 100%. An old dog new tricks, right?
Yeah.
It just don't work.
Yeah, definitely. At this point in my life, like I can't even imagine like being with someone who my parents would envision for me. But sometimes, and I don't know if you feel this way, like I wonder if like, sometimes I think to myself, like, what if they're right? What if, like, I would be better off, like, dating a Haitian Christian dude who works, like, who's an engineer?
Or we'd be so bored.
I know. I would be so
I have lots of options with Indian Gujarati doctors. Yeah. Like, I'm sure I do. There's so many single people out there, right? But I'm just like, it's just not what I gravitate towards. Yeah. That's not to say that I would shut that type of man out. Definitely. But it's not my first pick. You know what I mean? But, you know, I want to talk about more about your podcast too.
Yeah, definitely.
And like, kind of like what inspired you to kick that off?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, the story goes like this. So I decided I was going to move to Malaysia. Ooh. And before I like,
if you do that again, let me know. I'm coming.
Okay. Yeah. I'll put you in my pocket.
Yeah.
So it kind of was this, like, without getting too into it, it was kind of happened super quickly. Mm-hmm. And I was just like in a mode where I was like, well, fuck like everything, like mm-hmm. fuck these standards. Cause I always put these standards on myself. I didn't like have sex for a year. Cause I just mm-hmm. felt like, you know, again, it's that like kind of stigma, like of like, should I be dating multiple people? Like mm-hmm. I was living on my own, had my own apartment mm-hmm. and like barely brought guys into it. You know what mm-hmm, I mean? Cause mm-hmm. it stays with you whether you recognize it or not.
Right.
But I just had this like, fuck it all attitude. Mm-hmm. And I started like just truly dating, but I would always go to my friend Kia. And I've turned to her and be like Kia, like sometimes I would just hand her my phone and just be like, text these guys for me. And it ended up just being so much fun. So when I got back to America, like, you know, I still kind of had like a fuck it attitude, but like, you know, I was a lot more confident. Like Malaysia was life changing for me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it made me value myself a lot more, taught me not to take things as seriously as I used to. Mm-hmm. So I remember one day Kia and I were just on this rooftop bar. We were just chatting and I was talking about how like I still need her help dating. And she was just giving me like the best advice. And while simultaneously talking about how it's really important to explore your sexuality.
Oh my God, it's so important.
Yeah, so important. And she like, she was, before I left to Malaysia, she was single along with me. So we were having fun together. But by the time I came back, she was living with her boyfriend. So basically, she was talking about how like her hoe times were like super important for her. Mm-hmm. So I was turned to her and I jokingly said like, oh, we should start a podcast. And she was like, yeah, it's going to be called The Hoe. And I just finished her like statement, like by saying like, and the hopeless. So, but we realized like, you know, as being Black women, you, any women of color, like you experience these like stigmas and like this shame mm-hmm. with whether you're, you know, exploring your sexuality, mm-hmm. aka being a hoe, mm-hmm. or whether you're single, mm-hmm. You're kind of taught that you're hopeless, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we want to say like, you know, first of all, it's important to explore your sexuality and it doesn't mean that you're incapable of being in a loving relationship,
right?
Which she is in a loving relationship. Mm-hmm. And even though like I'm single and I've been single for a while, like mm-hmm. I've experienced so much like mm-hmm. on my 25 years on earth, and I don't think I'm hopeless at all. You know what I mean? And it's always nice. I don't know. I think it just brings together like wherever you're at in your life, whoever you're dating, like men are not the all, end all be all, like, you know, they're a part of your community, like the person you're dating, but you're always going to want to go back to your friends.
And I think a lot of like, I don't want to say a lot of women, but mm-hmm. I want to say just like a lot of people in general forget that, because at least in like our community, South mm-hmm. Asian community, it's like you get married or like you go to college, mm-hmm. you get married, and then it's like your partner becomes like your becomes your life and your world.
Oh yeah.
And to me, that's like a big hell no. That is like, no. Like I continue my career. I continue like everything in my life just at all times needs to be balanced out, whether it's friends or family or career or partner or kids or whatever the case is. Like you get equal attention. Yes.
Agreed.
Sometimes it's going to be other, like more on other things than, you know, like sometimes I'm going to put more attention on my friends or my social life than I am my partner. But for me personally, it's like, that's going to be, it's got to be balanced out.
Oh yeah. I remember like being very young and like hearing my cousin tell my mom that basically she was trying to get pregnant on her honeymoon. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, wow, that sounds like you're shackling yourself. It sounded so scary to me in that moment.
That would like give me so much anxiety.
Oh my gosh, it did. I was like, I gotta get out of here. She was just, first of all, why are you like telling my mom, like, oh, by the way, I was trying to get pregnant. Oh my
Because God. It makes that generation happy. Girl. Yes. It's like, oh my gosh, she got married. She's gonna bring a baby home.
Yes. Like, 9 months later.
That puts a knot in my stomach. But like, yeah. I mean, to some people, it's like success, right?
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
They're like, yes, I did it. I followed the path. But like, who the fuck created this path? Like, sorry, but like, where did it start from? Like, maybe I should interview like a really old lady or something.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, yo, like, did this shit, like, where the hell did somebody come up with this concept of like, you gotta like follow the, I guess it's like a path to safety, right?
And, like, I was security. Thinking that, yeah. Like safety, because in a sense we needed like men to keep us safe and secure. Not saying because men have that, mainly because society has made it that way. So that way men were the key for women to be. And ultimately it created this cycle where like women who were in dangerous situations, like whether their man was being like abusive or like they just no longer wanted to be in a relationship, they were fucking stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And that like scares me as well.
They were stuck, and they were also with somebody who they sometimes barely knew.
Yes.
Because they had to follow this path of an arranged marriage or whatever the case is. And then you're stuck with this partner who potentially will hurt you, abuse you.
Yeah.
And you can't get out of it because you're afraid of shame.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's something that's still big in South Asian community where it's like a lot of women are getting arranged marriages. Maybe not so much anymore, but definitely like all of like 10 years ago, like these women are just marrying because they're like, okay, like this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, like a lot of my cousins, sorry, not my cousins, but like maybe my cousins, I don't know, they want to sometimes marry like men from America because they're like, it's safer and like it's, you know, like you'll find a more ambitious man, whatever the hell that mentality is. But it's like it doesn't really change like how the man acts.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So
yeah, I like personally don't like, I think arranged marriages can be great, but I just feel like you need the option of like, with all things, you need the option of leaving and getting out of it.
Well, we always have the option. People just don't choose to allow themselves to have the option.
Yeah. And shame allows you to believe that you don't have the option.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm like in an interesting place now because I am like, you know, my mother met my father at the age that I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And in Haitian culture, that's old. Like,
yeah, same with Indian culture.
Yeah.
My mom was like, I had all three of you guys when I was 27. I was like, okay. And?
Yeah, and? I'm like, yeah, mom, this is a Haiti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm still trying to learn how to pay my taxes.
Yeah, exactly. No, seriously, I'm trying to get my shit together.
Yeah.
My dad, like, asks me all the time, like, I'm waiting for the day for you to come home and tell me you're in love and like you want to get married. And I like joke with him like, yeah, you'll find out when I get the wedding invitation. When you get the wedding invitation,
I'll send you an invite.
Yeah, I'll send you an invite to the wedding. Don't worry, Dad.
Don't forget the RSVP.
Yeah. So it's just funny to kind of like thinking about, because obviously I don't know. I would like to get married. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's funny to think about like, what is that person going to look like? And chances are my parents aren't going to approve. So I'll deal with that in the future. But
I mean, I've literally like, I've been on many dates in the last, I'd say like year and a half since my last serious relationship. Mm-hmm. And just like dudes, like me meeting people, going out on dates, and I'm just looking at this person like, are you my husband?
Yes.
And like, it's so bad because I'm like, all right, if you're not perfect, then like I gotta figure out how to make you perfect.
Yes.
You
know?
And then
seriously,
like you just try to like fucking change this person. But I didn't feel passionate about this person, and that's what I was missing. I'm like, I don't, like, I'm just with you because you check the boxes for my mom. You know what I mean? And then I started expanding outside of that and being like, okay, I'm going to stop dating Gujarati guys.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was like dating other types of Indian men, and I was not being pulled by them. Like there was nothing, I wasn't curious. And then I started dating outside of Indian, and I was like so much happier because the pressure wasn't there about like from the dude, like, hey, so I know like we've been together for X amount of months now. We should probably, you know, have our parents meet, like that.
Yeah.
Like not ready for that.
Yeah.
Not
definitely.
Ready for that at all.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And that's why I think I'm starting to date outside my culture now because I don't want that pressure, because that pressure is one extra layer of basically like a filter in front of my face. That's basically not me.
Yeah,
and
100%.
And it's my mom's filter. It's not mine.
Yeah.
And I had to do a better job at turning that filter or turning that voice off and you know, just looking with my own set of eyes and not my mother's and my family's, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I have never dated a Haitian guy. And I think I'm finally at a point where I'm like, okay, maybe I might date one, but they get a bad rap.
Do your brothers date Haitian girls?
So yeah, my brothers do. My younger brother, actually, he started dating this girl when he was 13 years old, right? Oh, wow. So, okay, this is an example of like what it's like to date in Haitian culture. Mm. So he started dating this Haitian girl for when he was 13 years old. So really young, mm-hmm. but they ended up being together for a really long time, but they kept it a secret. Mm. So when he was 19 years old, he went to my parents, had already been dating her for 6 years at this point. Yeah. He went to my parents and he was like, oh, I met this girl.
But I've low-key known her forever.
Yeah, seriously. We've been sneaking with each other for a really long time. But he goes to them and he's like, I met this girl and I would like for us to start dating. And she was in the church. So like, you know, yeah. They were like, oh my goodness. Okay. So our family meets her family. Her dad didn't even live in Philadelphia. Her dad lived in New York. So her dad drove down from New York. Mm-hmm. They all sat
in your living room,
in their living room to discuss he was 19, by the way, you know, they all sat in the living room to discuss like mm-hmm. the future
arrangements.
Yeah. Because like the idea was like, oh, like they're in college now. They just got into college. They're going to be married by the time they're out of college, you know? Oh, so let's like, again, like, according to my parents, just knew about her, like them dating for like maybe 3 months at that point.
Oh, jeez.
So,
I mean, it kind of mimics our culture.
Oh, yeah.
To a T, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, like, I've had. Oh, yeah. I mean, a few of my family members have been with their partners for like, God, like 5, 6, 7+ years.
Yeah.
And then they finally told their parents in like 18, 19. And then it was like, okay, well, at least we know that they're going to get married.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I tried that whole thing, like, where I was like dating somebody and then like, I was like, okay, cool, mom. Like, here's my boyfriend. And my mom would like, her brain would be like, okay, cool. Like, that's who you're going to marry. And then mm-hmm. she finds out that this mofo is like abusive or like whatever. And she just is like, okay, well, what do you want to do?
Yeah,
you
know what exactly. I
mean? And it's not even a question of like, drop his ass. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
It's just like, well, do you want to deal with it? Because yeah. he could be your husband.
Oh my yeah. God. I'm like, how can I think? And the thing in my brain went to mm-hmm. like, I guess he's supposed to be my husband. You know what I mean? Cause that's mm-hmm. how I was raised to believe that mm-hmm. if I'm going to be with this person, like he's going to be my partner.
Yeah.
And I didn't know at the time that I was allowed to have a choice
oh,
until
yeah,
I was like, I physically cannot handle the abuse anymore and not physical abuse. I've never been physically abused. Thank God.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, thankful for that, but verbally,
yeah,
emotionally, manipulation,
yeah.
like it, oh my God, on all yeah. sorts of levels, but
no, it's real. I thought yeah. the same thing too. I like grew up, my mom, her big thing was like, your father's the only person that I dated. And like, I remember one time I like was talking back to her. She was telling me like, you should only be with one person. The person you date is the person you're going to marry. And I looked at her and I was like, I was bold. I was like, I don't believe that you only dated dad. And she like calmly left the room and like came back with her credit card. And she was like, buy a one-way ticket to Haiti right now and go around and ask everybody.
Oh, damn.
And she was serious. Like she was she like, was go like... to Expedia. When she met a one-way ticket, she met she was... a one-way ticket. She was like over my bullshit.
She was like, I'm about to prove your ass wrong.
Yeah. Go to Haiti.
Well, my mom had only been with my dad too, right? And
yeah.
so that was like her only version. My mom had a love marriage, which was not the norm at all.
Okay,
like
yeah.
My parents eloped. So
yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, but like it, like I mean, the marriage like didn't really work out, right? Like they just like fought a lot, but it was like, you know, that's like what my perception was of a relationship and like mm-hmm. a partner, you know. So,
yeah.
But there's just I don't know, it's just like it really took a toll and still continues to kind of sort of take a toll on how I show up in the dating world
mm-hmm.
and who I am and like what my priorities are. But back to your podcast, because I really yes. want to talk about like sex and like really knowing yourself
yeah.
in the dating world, because I've started to learn that too. I told my mom when I was 22 years old that I was not a virgin. And like, yeah.
You know what's bad? I've never had that conversation with my parents.
Because my mom is like, my mom's hella pushy with certain yeah. things, and she's just sitting there. She's like, I know you're going to be a virgin until you're married, and I know that you're never going to drink. And I just looked at her and I was like, you know, I just got to break the news to her because she's just so, she lives in a bubble. And I was like, I don't care how modern she thinks she is. My
wow.
mom is like super like religious. religious. She's so religious and so traditional in certain ways. And she's gotten like more religious and more traditional as she gets older. Cause so she's just like, my kids are not married and whatever. Right. And so one day when me and my mom thought we were like, had this really cool friendship, I just looked at her and I was like, Mom, I'm not a virgin. I was like, and I like to drink. And she just looked at me like her jaw just like dropped. And you know what's crazy though? Like, yeah. You know what's crazy though? She goes, and she didn't ask about my sister or my brother, but she was like, I don't even know what happened afterwards. She just kind of was like shut down for a second. And then the next day she comes up to me, my sister, she's like, you know what? I understand if you fall in love and you like, you know, have sex with somebody. She's like, but why do you have to drink? I was like, where are your priorities, woman? Like, what? Like, no.
That's hilarious.
I was like, what?
Wait,
like,
so drinking is worse on the meter. That's hilarious.
Her meter, apparently. Yeah. Like, I don't really know. I think it all falls under one category. Like, growing up, I was like, my mom said no drugs, no alcohol, and no sex before marriage. Oh, and like, all that was broken. Well, except for the drugs thing. But like, it just like, she just lived under a rock. And I think that she had to understand that, like, that it was not an unrealistic situation for me to be an American raised Indian girl who was going to be like a virgin until she got married. But either way, I think it was so important for, she didn't really know how to have the sex talk with us. Like, I think she like left a pamphlet on my sister's like,
oh my gosh.
The pamphlet. I think she left a pamphlet on my sister's dresser. And my sister was like, what the fuck is this?
Like, no, seriously. That's wild. Do you feel like you can tell her, like, if you're dating someone now or.
So it's really funny that you asked that because I stopped telling her who I'm dating. I just tell her like I date people.
Yeah.
She just assumes like, oh my God, she's sleeping around. Like, she's just sleeping with every single guy that she goes on a date with.
That's hilarious.
And I'm like, yo, like, there's a whole, like, there's love languages, but there's also, like, sexual love languages, too. Like, understanding that part, too. And so, like, I think that, to answer your question, I think that she's just going to go through her own shit. Like, she can believe whatever she wants to, but like, I'm going to just continue doing me. You know what I mean? And it took me a long time to get there.
Yeah.
With like, just taking our brains and finally separating them and being like, well, I'm a sexual being.
Yeah.
If I'm attracted to somebody and it happens, like, that's just what it is. Like, it's not an unrealistic situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So, but yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I think, you know, any parent who has a first generation child should, it's either like, don't ask, don't tell.
Yep.
Or be accepting of it. Cause it's a reality. You know what I mean?
Like, it's very much like, don't ask, don't tell with my family.
Yeah.
And like, for instance, you know, I have a couple of tattoos, not like a ton, but like, they don't know about it, which is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
But the other day, so that's the thing, but sometimes with your parents, you don't know like what they really know or what they're guessing.
Mm-hmm.
But the other day, like a couple months ago, actually, my dad like pulled my little brother aside and he was like, you know, Deborah has tattoos, right?
Oh.
But I've thought about this like a million times and there's no way, unless like God told them, like there's no way they would know because I don't post about it on social media. I don't do anything.
Right.
And still to this day, they haven't brought it up. So
they took it and they were like, okay, we're just not going to talk about this.
Basically, my family doesn't talk about anything, but we're going to Haiti. So with my family, I've always been like the rebel and I've always like been the first to do things. Like I was the first to move out, even though I'm the only girl.
Mm-hmm.
I was the first to kind of like say, I'm going to have the major that I want to have in college.
Mm-hmm.
So my older brother has gotten a few tattoos and I was like, look, like I've taken the brunt of like my parents for every single thing. I've taken the hit for every single thing. Like you have to take the hit on this one. Like you have to be the one to let them know.
Yeah.
And like every month he's been like, this is going to be the month that I tell them. And I'm like, yo, tell them before we go on vacation.
Well, it's crazy. Cause when I started to like, just give up on like my mom's standards was when I was dating all these Indian guys and she just was nitpicking with them. And that's when I was like, I got to learn. I was like, I got to like, just like,
no matter what, it doesn't
matter. I was like, if I get a tattoo, she's gonna be pissed off about it, and then she'll get She'll get over it, which I did. She got over it. I got a dog. She was pissed off about it. She couldn't get over it.
That's so funny that dogs and tattoos are like up there. Because same with my mom.
Dogs and tattoos and sex are all on the same level.
Yeah, they're the exact same things.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God, that's so horrible.
Yeah,
it's so interesting, though. I had another question that I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, but it was around, about the podcast.
It was about sex.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah, it's my favorite thing.
Yeah, I think coming out to my mom and telling me was really interesting. But, like, now she just automatically assumes that that's what the case is, which, you know, I'm glad that she does. But I think a lot of parents have to realize, like, here's the thing. You know what I told my mom recently? Mm-hmm. I said, because she asked me, I was like, I go to the OBGYN, like, every year. Like, I do my annuals. I check up on myself. I check on my body, make sure I'm getting, like, STD testing, HIV testing done, like, all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm protecting myself. You know what I mean? And so when she found out that I was like going to the OB, she's like, well, what do you need to go to the OB for? Like, you don't have to go till like you're older. And I'm like, don't you know? Like, I thought we already talked about this like years ago. I was
I'm having sex, mom.
Yeah. And I was like, I thought we talked about this. I thought like, and so I didn't, we didn't really get into it. Like my mom and I have a really awkward relationship. Like we just kind of like eye contact is enough of like a message.
Yes. So, same. No, I get that.
And so she just kind of like, she asked questions to put me on the spot, but she doesn't really want to know the answers to them. I just have to be real with her. Like I'm 30 years old now.
No, I feel that. I think like hearing you talk about like making the decision, it's interesting because I think there's always a point when you're first generation where you kind of like recognize that you're probably not going to follow the path that your parents want for you. Mm-hmm. And I think I was always like, yeah, I'm never going to date a Haitian guy, but I don't know. I it was always in the back of my mind that maybe I might like, you know, get married in my 20s and have kids in my 20s like they wanted. But when I made the decision like to get an IUD, which is like what I have, I got it when I was 20 years old. So I knew I was, it was going to be good for like 10 to 12 years. So it was kind of like me telling myself like, oh snap, I'm not having kids in my 20s. And I remember that just being like a powerful thing because it was the first time I felt like true ownership of my body.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, it was cool, but like I didn't really know what to make of it at the time. So yeah, like it was, I don't know. I think everybody kind of gets to that point where whether it's like making the conscious decision, like I'm going to date dudes of all races or like, you know, I'm going to take ownership of my body.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I was actually listening to this podcast and it was, it's Invisibilia, and it was about Asian women who tend to gear towards like white men. But it, basically the whole point of the podcast is about like unlearning your dating. So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts of like, did you have to do like some unlearning when you made the decision to kind of like switch over to like dating people of all races or like,
oh my God, so much. Like I was so, I literally only had, it was like, it was as if somebody gave me a checklist and said, here's the checklist that you're only allowed to follow. And when I, and the checklist was like highest caste, has to be Indian, has to be Gujarati, like all these things. Right. So like I had to literally emotionally rip that up and say, what else is out there?
Yeah.
But it wasn't even just what else is out there. It was what else, what works for me and my energy. So it was really a lot of introspection. Like I was letting the wrong people into my life for the longest, longest, longest time. Like,
did you realize like you were doing it at first? Like, did you realize you were following this checklist at first? Like when you had your first like crush or boyfriend, you like went through the mental checklist?
My first three boyfriends from the time I was 18 until I think it was like 23, 24. I had three serious relationships and I just was a relationship kind of girl. Like I was not like, I just loved to be in love. Right. My first boyfriend was Gujarati. He was Brahmin. He wasn't vegetarian. That was like a requirement of my mom.
Oh my gosh.
He also smoked cigarettes, which my mom didn't know about.
I
didn't, I mean, I cared because for the sake of health, not for like the sake of cultural shit. But like he wasn't good to me. And like, we just kind of clashed a lot because our personalities just didn't work. Like if we like were to chop it up now, like it's fine because we're adults and we can be mature. But like, I was literally like, I guess I'm going to just be with this person because he fits all everything that my mom wants. I didn't, and even then I wasn't like, oh my God, I want to make my mom proud. I was like, this is all I'm allowed to have. My second boyfriend in college, he wasn't the highest caste. He was a lower caste, apparently, according to this bullshit caste system. But my mom, like, she wasn't sure at first because she's like, well, he's Gujarati, but he's Patel. And he's, you know, he is like, whatchamacallit. He was also not vegetarian, but my mom like had gotten our astrology matched and we matched damn near perfectly.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Our charts matched. And so she was like all for it. Whoa. So that's like another big factor, which I will save for another episode because I am interviewing an astrologer.
Yeah.
But the next boyfriend after that, he was vegetarian. He was Brahmin, which is the highest caste. He was Gujarati. Mm. He had a bachelor's degree. Like, he was everything that my mom wanted in a man, and like came from like a, you know, quote unquote good family, was like local, everything.
Yeah.
But he was the most fucked up person I had ever dated in my life. Like, like that was, it was emotional abuse. It was. Like, I'm pretty sure he cheated on me. I'm pretty sure he lied. Like, I mean, he lied all the time. Like, I got out of that relationship and I had body image issues. I went to therapy afterwards. And I think that my mom failed to realize that, like, I don't even think she really cared, to be honest. I think she was just like, yeah, but he was, you know, he fulfilled X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And so that's just what kind of like messed me up a bit, because I was thinking like, I still had to put this type of a man, you know, I had to prioritize this type of a man to fulfill the wishes of my mom, you know? And so I think that, I mean, I fortunately was in a relationship after that that was very, very, very healthy.
Yeah.
Where this person came into my life and like taught me like my value and how to actually be valued as a woman.
Yeah.
And that was like the first example that I had. And I'm so thankful that the universe brought this person into my life. Like, we're still homies till this day.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, wow, like this is what it's like for a man to say, I'm allowed to feel happy and excited when somebody says you look beautiful, and they actually mean it, and it's not just coming from a place like my ex would like attack me and like come at me and be like, you need to lose weight, and like, you know, like he I mean, because he was projecting his issues onto me. But either way, I think that you know, there was a lot of learning that I needed, and I think that the ex-boyfriend who was a lunatic taught me that I needed to figure out my self-worth.
That's real.
I did not have any understanding of self-worth. Like, we weren't taught self-worth in our culture. You know what I mean? Like, we just, that was just
it's
not
all
a thing.
About the community, which is real. And I think it's important to think about the community, but you're part of the community. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, you got your self-worth if like a family member or an aunt or an uncle was like, oh my God, you're doing so well with your career. And that's great.
Exactly.
And it's like,
I don't want to wait until Thanksgiving to get that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, like you just got your worth, and it was based off of your career or where you, what company you worked for. And I'm like, what about as a woman that's like hardworking, and like, you know, even moms out there that have children, it's like, you don't give credit to a woman that's raising children. Like, what? Like, do you know how hard that job is?
It's so difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I just started to unlearn myself, and I'm still unlearning like a lot of the stigmas. But I think a relationship that really helped me was I was like dating someone in Malaysia. And it kind of helped and it hurt me because I, you know, ended up like falling in love with them and just being able to just recognize that they're, you know, he just brought out the best in me in a lot of ways. Yeah. And like, you know, and ended up not working out because I tell people it's because it was long distance, but really like it was because he was Iraqi and he was Muslim, and we were like, in a sense, kidding ourselves, like to think that like things could work, but really
that just kills me. That like kills me. Cause it's like when you really meet somebody like a soulmate, that's just so wonderful for you, to you, and like treats you so well. It's not that person that's going to fuck you up. It's their like everything else, the family, their upbringing. Like that's what my biggest fear is now. Like, and I have a hard time admitting that I have commitment issues, but it's, I'm not ready to take on another family and for them to change me.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I'm just not like, and that's why I think I'm not married yet.
100%. Like, it's like hard because family is really important to me.
Yeah.
And like, I never, like, I don't think we were trying to be like realistic. He and I like, oh, like, you know, if you come to America, you're coming for your education, not because of me or blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But like, I want someone like, you know, when he told me like, yeah, like I have to go back to Iraq. I have to live in Iraq. Like this isn't going to work. You know, it's like, I got it. Like, you know what I mean? But it's just kind of like, what am I going to do? Cause I, on one hand, my family values are like higher than what, you know, I'm not going to place like a stigma, but like from what I see from like people who are born in America, just culturally, family values are different.
Oh,
but like, where's that middle ground? Like, I want someone who's like, where family's really important to them, right. but at the same time, like, won't break up with me because their dad said that they had to. And it's so hard
because I'm guilty of that too, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just guilty of it. I'm like, but I have been in situations since my last relationship where I was willing to do like anything for certain people. Mm. I'm like, I don't care what your upbringing is. I don't care. At this point, I'm like, mm-hmm. if you have a college education or not, it's not really a priority for me.
Yeah.
Because some of the smartest fucking people I know do not have degrees.
100%.
And I'm like, it's a matter of how you apply yourself. It's a matter of who you show up as. Which actually leads me to my next question.
Yes.
Did we have one more question? I think we were.
I don't.
Oh, the 25 to 35. Yes, I don't know if you wanted to touch on that.
Yeah, now, yeah. I mean, this is funny because it changed when we originally talked last week. I was like, yeah, and maybe we need to do a part two.
We definitely will be doing.
Part two.
That's going to be about how have you been a hoe in the last?
Yes. Man, like even this past like 2 weeks have been crazy for me.
Dude.
But
I got four Eskimo brothers up in one place.
I know. I feel like I should start introducing them. But yeah, originally it started because like I'm 25 mm-hmm. and I feel like a lot of my friends are 30. And that's mm-hmm. like a cool thing mm-hmm. about, you know, just being this age. And they tell me like when you're 25, like, you like a lot of them were like, I was a hoe at 25 or mm-hmm. I just experienced a lot of growth and like, mm-hmm. it was a great year. It was a terrible year. Mm-hmm. So like, I guess a teaser to part two would be like, what
are we at?
Yeah. What advice would you give to me as a 25-year-old?
Right.
Like, might be in like a similar position as you.
I mean, we are still in our prime. So
yeah, that's real.
Yeah, it really is. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, when I was 25, I mean, I'm 30 now, which 25 was not too long ago. And I've only been in two serious relationships since then. And just like dating, meeting people. My biggest piece of advice is like, you know, introspection and like take that more seriously. Mm-hmm. Learn a lot about yourself, because if you don't know who you are, how the hell are you going to project all of these things that you want onto somebody?
Yeah,
you
know, 100%.
And like, know your sexuality, know what you crave in a partner, whether it's a man or a woman. And it's like, you know, I think like, you know, they always talk about self-love. And it's like, what does that mean to you? You know what I mean? And like, you know, if you go through if you go through rough times while you're dating, it's like, what are you doing to like try to help yourself recover versus just like
recover?
Yeah, like going through that. And so when you're like, you know, when you're dating, you're meeting people, it's like, you know, take a look at this checklist that you have. Take a look at like why you have this checklist. Is it tied to childhood trauma? Is it tied to like previous heartbreak? And like, how did you work through that? And how did you grow from it? Because everything in life, it doesn't matter what it is, there's a lesson tied to it. So like, what 100%. Lessons do you look at past relationships and think to yourself, oh my God, this person like hurt me and like this and that. Like, I could say my ex-boyfriend was abusive and all this stuff and like, mm-hmm. you know, just like really fucked me up. But
what are you going to do about it?
But what did I learn from it? I learned that I didn't have any self-worth. I didn't have any, like, I didn't value myself at the time. Mm. So how do I value myself going forward?
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, I always tell even my coaching clients, I'm like, you know, what's like one thing that actually brings you joy outside of like just people and humans, you know what I mean? Like, do you love your plants? Do you love like you're making your coffee in the morning? Like, what is, because like, that is the foundation of who you are. Like you expressing the things that you like, that is your picture. That is your painting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, I think that like the biggest piece of advice is like, just learn about yourself, understand. But you also do learn from dating. Remember how we talked about last week? You had asked me a question. I said, yo, like if you're going to go on the dating world, just go on dates with people that you might not even see yourself with.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Because you learn about yourself.
Yeah, definitely. It's so funny that I later gave that advice to someone.
Yeah.
I was like acting as if I knew. I was like, you know, you should just go on dates, like da 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 da.
Just like meet people.
Yeah, meet people.
Learn about
Meanwhile,
yourself.
You literally told me that a week ago. Yeah. No, that's so real.
Yeah.
Anything else? Like, do you have any?
I don't know. I feel like we could talk about so much for hours.
I know, seriously.
I just honestly, like, I could say follow your heart, but listen to your intuition.
Yep. 100%.
Like,
I think I'm learning that right now.
Yeah. I mean, I hit a jackpot last week. I got like five dudes' numbers, but I just didn't connect with any of them spiritually or mentally or emotionally. Like, spirituality, I know, is like my biggest thing. If I don't connect with you spiritually, I'm not going to be able to like, I don't feel as connected with you.
100%.
And so, yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, like, a big lesson has been recognizing, like, worth and recognizing that you should, in all levels, whether you're hooking up with someone, mm-hmm. whether you are in a relationship with someone, you deserve like a certain level of respect and a certain kind of respect. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like you can't speak up about something that's making you uncomfortable, then like you shouldn't be involved with that person at all on any level.
Yeah.
So
like, just don't lose sight of who you are.
Yeah.
And that's all comes with doing all that self homework. Cause once you lose sight of it, you clearly didn't do your homework. You didn't learn about yourself. You didn't take the lessons that you were supposed to take.
100%.
And this is all like, I have to say this. This is all outside of the first generation aspect.
Yeah, this like, is just real and applicable. This is,
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, don't think, like, just turn the parent voice off, turn mm-hmm. the culture voice off. Mm-hmm. Only take with you what jives with you and like means a lot to you. Like, I know I can continue to say like certain people's opinions matter, but they really don't.
Yeah.
Like, I need to be happy because I'm not going to show up as the best version of myself moving forward in life. And that's not what I want.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yay. Okay.
This was fun. I'm so glad we got the chance to connect and, you know, share our thoughts on the dating world and also like how it ties to first generation.
Yeah, definitely. Like, and also to see our similarities, mm-hmm. like it's kind of crazy. Like, I think we kind of knew we were similar or had a similar upbringing, mm-hmm. but to see that like mirrored and especially reflected in like our unlearning, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's like remarkable and just really therapeutic to talk about.
I know. I feel so much lighter right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got all this shit off my chest.
Seriously. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming through. And I will be sure to link her podcast and her Instagram information.
Follow me.
I guess it's a bio. I don't really know what it is.
Yeah. Whatever. Look at it below or above or to the right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.